Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
Accept the things to which fate binds you and love the people with whom fate brings you together, but do so with all your heart. Marcus Aurelius. A pop-up tent appeared on the main market street with a sign that read, "Make your fate," in lazy chicken scratches. I've never once had my palms read or future viewed through a crystal ball, but at that moment, I was open to try anything. I approached the tent. A strong grassy smell floated through the air and invaded my nostrils. The scent so intense, it made my head dizzy, and it only got stronger when I entered. Inside the tent was dark with the exception of candles and lanterns. Different herbs and plants dangled from the skeleton of the tent. A table sat in the middle of the room. It was decorated with small teeth, a colourful dagger, and a silver jeweled chalice. "Hello, Charlie," a woman greeted with a thick Russian accent. She was cloaked in a purple gown. The hood ended just at the tip of her nose, but when she looked up to me, I caught a glimpse of glowing amber eyes, a nice effect which added a cherry on top of the experience. I smiled back. I'd been wearing my work uniform with a name tag. I'd wondered if she thought I forgot and would be amazed by her psychic abilities. "Hello," I trailed off. Her name had not been included anywhere. "Mother Mihaela," she introduced herself and pointed a bony hand towards a seat just a foot away from me. "Sit, let's talk." I followed her instructions and sat on the cushioned seat, my head still dizzy from the strong odour. "Speak of your problems," she urged. If she hadn't been so eerie, I would have maybe felt a motherly vibe from her. I'm not the type of person to overshare, but the words tumbled out of my mouth. I shared about my childhood and my current life, how my wife Danielle was no longer attractive to me, how I could feel our marriage slipping. I even mentioned my thoughts of committing adultery. Mother Mihaela listened carefully to every word and thought for a moment, her hands clasped tightly together. "What do you want the most?" she asked. The image of the brunette I had seen just a few days ago flashed into my mind, and I struggled to think of an answer other than, "A new lover?" She asked if she could read my mind, and I nodded. I hadn't realized just how sick of my relationship with Danielle I had gotten. Mother Mihaela lifted the dagger from the table and held it gently in her left hand. I watched on with confusion as she held out her right hand. "How much will it cost?" I asked as I swallowed a large glob of saliva. "It's nothing you can't pay," she cooed. My hand soon met hers, and she turned it over so I was palm up. The cool blade of the dagger traced a small line that started from below my middle finger and ended at my wrist. "Your fate line," she commented. With each stroke, the pressure from the blade increased until finally, it broke the skin. I ripped my hand away. A small blob of blood dropped onto the table, and Mother Mihaela hissed out of annoyance. "What the hell?" I exclaimed. My eyes focused on the long cut, now my palm. "Fool," Mother Mihaela snatched my hand back with unusual strength and held it above the chalice. With each drop of blood, a small metallic tang echoed from the cup. After 7 drops, she closed my fingers up so they were covering my palm. I half expected to see the blood trickle down my wrist, but when the tingling pain in my palm stopped, she reopened it to reveal nothing. I was left speechless, but soon a dull pain began to throb in my head. Mother Mihaela took one of the pointer teeth and ground it down to fine dust, making sure to add some of the herbs that dangled above, and when she added it to the blood, it hissed like hot oil. I stared on as she murmured a few foreign words and then slid the chalice towards me. "Drink," she commanded. I wanted to refuse, but the more I thought about how much I didn't want to drink it, the stronger the pain in my head became, until it was unbearable. I shot the liquid back, and it slid straight down my throat, leaving an icy trail behind it. The feeling so intense, I squeezed my eyes shut. I opened my eyes and was stood back on the busy market street. No sign of the tent. Only a small whisper to prove my sanity. 2 days. When I returned home, Danielle was sprawled across a couch, her makeup smudged and her hair tied into a nest of a bun. She had been day drinking on a day off again. "Wine, hun," she slurred, tipping a glass in my direction. I shook my head and unpacked the groceries she had asked me to pick up on my way home. Just as I was putting away the cauliflower, she appeared behind me and wrapped her arms around my chest. I could feel her face pressed against my back, and my only thought was the possibility that she was staining the back of my shirt with her eyeliner. Will anything even happen in 2 days? I swallowed my anger and produced a grin. Artificial happiness was my goal for the next couple of days. If nothing happens, then I'm settling for a divorce. About that wine. By some miracle, my relationship began to get better. Danielle started to take care of herself, and she even started making me breakfast in the morning. It was like our first year together all over again. Today, I went out of my way to pick up some flowers from the local florist. Yesterday was a brilliant day of just watching movies, talking and cooking. I couldn't help but feel overjoyed at the difference between our relationship now and 2 days ago. I chose a rose and sunflower mix, her favourites. Though they don't look as pleasing as traditional bouquets, the idea of seeing her excited by the flowers had me so giddy that I practically skipped home. When I opened the door, Danielle was nowhere to be seen. Her usual spot on the couch was empty, but her phone sat idle in the kitchen counter. "Danny," I called out. I removed my shoes and walked further into the house. "Danny." "Bedroom," she responded. I walked towards the bedroom and creaked the door open. I had wrongfully expected some sort of naughty surprise like a few years back, but instead, I spotted my partner jamming clothes into a suitcase. I stood in shock for a moment. "What are you doing?" I asked. "My dad is in hospital. I'm traveling south. I'm thinking a week," she replied in a hurry. Danielle's dad, Gerald, hated me. In a way, I was glad she didn't invite me. I couldn't imagine a worse way to spend my time. "Damn, give him my regards," I whispered. I got you these, but I guess I'll try and take care of them until you get back." Danielle looked up for the first time since I'd gotten into the room, her blue hues fixated on the bouquet and brightened with joy. "Ah, hun, they're beautiful," she cooed. "Yes, if you could. If not, you can always get me more," she almost sang. "So, when are you leaving? Maybe we can eat as soon as I've packed. Sorry." Just as I was cooking chicken for my dinner, Danielle came rushing by. She took the time to seal a kiss, and before I knew it, she was almost out of the door. "Call me when you get there." That night was dull. I ate my chicken and rice dinner, turned on a random movie and settled down. Just as I was getting comfortable, my stomach began to rumble. And that rumble I was able to bear through, until it started to grow into intense pain. I sat for as long as I could, until the feeling of liquid molten swam up my throat. Searing hot, red bile flew into the toilet as I gagged and retched. Did I not cook the chicken properly? I sat at the toilet, dry heaving uncontrollably. I wanted to stop, but the feeling of something stuck in my throat wouldn't pass. With each gag, it slowly made itself up my throat, until finally, a small can flew out of my mouth and splashed into the red concoction below. Some of the liquid jumped onto my face, but I was too exhausted to care. I rested my head in my arms, which lay on top of the toilet seat. On usual occasions, I would have found this disgusting, but it felt like heaven. After the event, I couldn't help but let out a small sob. Eventually, I gathered myself and stared down into the liquid. I hadn't got a chance to see what flew out of my mouth, but if it was anything serious, I knew I'd have to retrieve it to show a doctor. I exhaled deeply and placed my hand into the crimson toilet water, the liquid still warm. If I had anything left in my stomach, I would have definitely brought that up too. My hand blindly searched until it brushed up against a hard item, which made a clink when it bumped into the edge of the toilet. After a couple more seconds of blind fishing, I managed to retrieve it. In my hand was a small tin, the shape of a tuna can, but the height of a sardine one. There was a bright orange label, which on closer inspection was written purely in Russian. To the left of the label was a large picture of a girl. In fact, it was the same brunette I had saw just a week ago. Was she missing? Why was a missing picture on a tuna can? Under the picture read Freya, as well as more Russian, and the numbers 27, 157, and 53. After rinsing the can and my hands off, I decided to investigate more using the Google Translate app, but it struggled to get a good translation from the picture. When I placed it onto the camera, it read, Fate Limited, and the aid, which I assumed to be the instructions, mentioned cold water, but that's all I could make of it. I became too curious. In the kitchen, I peeled back the lid to find a wrapped up USB floating in orange liquid. I took the USB and dumped the concoction into cold water. Nothing. No reaction, no color change. Absolutely nothing. The only thing it did was fill the room with a familiar grassy scent. It didn't smell at all edible, so I left it. My exhausted body left the task of washing up for future me. Danielle didn't pack a work laptop. Whether it was a mistake or if they actually gave her the time off, I was unsure. But I took the opportunity to plug in the USB. The laptop scanned the device slowly, and when it finally popped up, it had the same name as the can. Inside the USB was a singular file containing an MP4 and a notepad file named Eng. The video showed somebody doing the same process as I did, except in a bucket of water. They spoke in Russian. An easy fix, as the notepad had a translation on. The man waited for 30 minutes, and soon enough, the liquid turned into a woman. The acting was sickly, with just how over the top it was, and whatever they filmed it on had the grain of an older camera, but the quality of something pretty new. The video showed an expiration date written on the inner left ankle of the girl, cleverly named a deadline by the company. Once I'd finished watching this strange video, another MP4 file appeared. This time, it was called Freya. I didn't press on it straight away. It was a confusing time, and I couldn't help but wonder if this was some clever PR for a movie. But then I remembered the can had literally crawled out of my stomach. I caught up with the document after being too entrapped by the video. It mentioned that the person created would come with memories of being a partner. This was too much for me. I had thought the repairing of my relationship with Danielle was Mother Mihaela's doing, but looking at the current situation, perhaps my change in behaviour saved our relationship. However, I had to deal with whatever this was before Danielle returned. I clicked on the new MP4 file. This time, it was in English. It was a short, 3-minute documentary on Freya and her life. Freya was born local. Her father owned a pub, while her mother worked a full-time bakery. Freya herself owned a successful graphics design company and worked from home. It listed a few things Freya liked, such as how she loved baked goods, as it reminded her of her mother. She also really enjoyed watching movies when they're first released. The video was interesting, but I couldn't help but feel like a creep. If this thing turned out to be fake, I don't think I could bear to look her in the eye if I ever passed her again. The end of the video was strange. I thought it ended as it went black and the music came to a halt. But after a few seconds, audio began to play. "What do you want the most?" Mother Mihaela's voice echoed. I want my company to grow." And then it ended. "Charlie?" a voice called out. I whipped my head around, expecting to see Danielle. But instead, it was Freya. I almost freaked out. I was mere seconds from diving off the couch and telling her to leave, but then I remembered the video. She had a deadline. I just had to check it. Freya stood in the kitchen, hair wet and body covered by Danielle's towel. A tinge of guilt shot through my body. "Did you not hear me?" She began to get closer, and I shut the laptop and removed the USB. I shoved it into my pocket. "If you need to borrow my laptop, just ask me. Sometimes I have unsaved work on there, that's all." She smiled. Freya traveled behind me and wrapped her arms gently around my neck. She pressed a damp cheek to mine, and I could feel her smile. She smelled amazing. "Yeah, sure. Sorry," I apologized. Freya inhaled deeply, and I felt her muscles tighten. "Have you been sick?" she asked. She quickly retreated. "Mm-hmm. I think I undercooked my chicken." "That's why I tell you to let me cook," she scolded. That night was strange. Freya headed to the bedroom and emerged, now dry and in Danielle's pajamas. Freya was gorgeous. She was everything I wanted in a woman. If the video was correct, she technically wasn't real. So was it wrong to enjoy the company? We spent the rest of the evening curled up, watching a movie of her choice, and then we headed off to bed. I'll be honest, I really did feel guilty when Freya snuggled up to me, but it had been a while since Danielle had wanted to cuddle in bed. I felt touch-starved. When I woke up the next morning, it took me a moment to gather myself. My alarm had left me disoriented, and the added shock of Freya being in my bed added to my confusion. I was about to scream at her to get out of the house, but the memories of the can and the USB quickly saved me. Freya stretched and turned over to see me, her hair messy from sleep and her eyes half open from sleepiness. "Can't you have a lion?" she asked. She snuggled into my chest, and I couldn't help but wrap my arms around her. "Just 5 minutes," she murmured into my chest. Those 5 minutes turned into 35, and my emergency alarm went off, alerting me that I only had 15 minutes to get ready. In a hurry, I showered. I didn't have time to do much, and had to go to work without breakfast and wet hair. When I arrived at work, my boss, James, told me to wait in the back. I wasn't allowed to see customers with wet hair, and was ordered to stock instead. James must have wanted me to stay in the back, because I spent a good 4 hours there, until he said my name down the radio. "There's someone here to see you," he called. When I got to the front, I spotted Freya with a bag. She beamed when she saw me and dived in for a hug. Instead, I pulled her around the side of one of the beams and she shot me a worried look. "What are you doing here?" I asked her. She frowned further at the question. "You were in such a hurry, you didn't pack any lunch, so I thought I'd bring it." She held out the bag and I took a look in. She must have cooked me something, and it smelled great. "I forgot to make you something last night, so I did a bit of work and then cooked you this." I gave Freya a thankful smile and embraced her for a short second. "Thank you, I totally forgot." Freya checked the watch and glanced back at me. "I have to go back and work now. I'll see you when I get home." She gave me a small peck and disappeared out the door. On my dinner break, I realized that I'd forgotten my phone. In fact, I hadn't checked it all night. I cursed at myself, and luckily for me, I was able to use the company phone to dial Danielle. "Hello?" she answered. "Babe, I'm so sorry. I must have lost..." "Charlie, oh my god. You had me worried. I must have called you like 50 times," she scolded. "I know, I know. Did you arrive safely?" "Yeah, I'm actually at the hospital right now, so I can't talk..." Danielle began to speak, and I heard a voice in the background. "Sorry, the doctor is here. I have to go." The rest of the day was uneventful, and I was actually quite excited to go see Freya. When I arrived home, she was busy cooking, so I headed to the couch to fish my phone out from between the seats. Danielle wasn't lying. She really did call me 47 times and text me 7 times. Damn. "How was your day, honey?" Freya quizzed. "Is James still being an ass?" It threw me off that she knew that. I thought it must have been a false memory thing. "No, he was actually okay with me today. He put me in stock, but I don't really like customers anyway." Freya had cooked us a nice prawn and tarragon tagliatelle, a new dish for me. It was a nice change to cooking my own things. Danielle wasn't much of a cook, and we often opted for frozen meals or takeout. There was something about eating home-cooked meals that overcame me with joy. Freya had become more touchy. While watching a movie together, she had attempted to kiss me quite a few times, and despite how much I wanted to, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. "Did I do something?" she asked, her voice coated with sorrow. "No, no, I just... I'm not sure if I have a stomach bug after yesterday, and I don't want to give it to you," I reassured her. Over the course of the next few days, I began to forget about the can, about Danielle, and even about the USB. I had been living a reality where Freya was my other half, and in all honesty, I was in love with her. We spent a lot of time talking. Her ability to carry interesting conversations had me basically worshipping her. One evening, while watching some football, I began to massage her feet. An act of love. Something I often did for... Did Danielle really matter now? Freya really got into the game, and I snuck a peek at her feet. On the inside of her ankle was a black tattoo. I had to focus a little bit due to the lack of light, but I managed to make out 19/05/2021, the 19th of May. Was that her deadline? It was 2 days away. I didn't want Freya to leave. I'd finally found my soulmate. I needed her to stay. "Are you okay, hon?" she asked. Surely she's aware of the situation. "You expire in 2 days, I whispered. Freya was surprised by this. "That's what the date means." I pointed at the tattoo on her ankle, and she leaned forward. Her eyebrows knitted in confusion. "Charlie, what are you talking about? There's nothing there." "No," I argued. "It says right there on the tattoo." I continued to point at the tattoo on her ankle. "The only one with a tattoo on their ankle is you, Charlie. Stop messing with me," she huffed. "I had a tattoo." "What does my tattoo say?" I asked urgently. I don't know. I haven't really looked at it." I urged Freya to take another look. She studied it for a short moment. "It just says mothers, and then TBA. What does that mean?" "I don't know." I debated diving into the subject more. Did Freya know she came from a can? "You're being weird." Knowing Freya only had 2 days, I decided to go out my way and make her feel special. I went to the local Chinese bakery and bought a few sweet pastries they recommended. I even picked up some flowers, this time the traditional type. It was strange. I half expected to wake up on my bed, and this turned out to be a dream. But with every moment that passes, I can't help but hope that it doesn't happen. When I got home, Freya was standing up. The laptop was smashed to bits on the floor, and I noticed the same USB was plugged in. My pajama trousers were laying on the countertop. "Freya?" I called out. The room filled with the panicked breaths. "Freya, are you okay? Why didn't you tell me?" she shrieked. I caught a glimpse of teary eyes behind her hair. She inhaled shakily and collapsed to the floor. Her knees collided with broken plastic, but she didn't flinch. "Why did you do this? Why would you make a deal with her?" she asked. "What?" "I remember now. I made a deal with Mother Mihaela. That's why my business is doing so well," she began. "I didn't realize this was the cost." "Wait, this is the payment?" I took a few steps closer. The laptop pieces snapped under my shoes. "You mean I'm going to end up like you?" "This has happened before," she mumbled. "I've done this before with somebody else." Freya scrambled to her feet and rushed to the kitchen. She pulled out a large knife, one that looked like she had recently sharpened it, and held the blade to her chest, where I assumed her heart would be. But every time she jerked her hand to do it, she couldn't. Freya let out a distressed cry. "I can't do it. She won't let me do it," she cried. "Charlie, please, I don't want to do this again. I'm sick of living like this," she begged. Freya padded over to me and knocked the flowers and pastry onto the floor. She forced the handle of the knife into my hands and pressed the chest up to the pointed end. "Charlie, if you love me, if you actually value me as a person, then I need you to do this. I've been through this too many times. I can't keep living like this. I don't want to go back to storage," she sniffled. I stood in shock as Freya stared up at me with tearful and pleading eyes. Despite her tears, her makeup stayed on perfectly. "Please," she screamed. I did it. The knife slid into her smoothly, and rather than bleed, her body hardened and she crumbled into ash, leaving only an orange business card with the same Russian logo on it. The knife fell to the floor with a loud clang, and I followed it down. Tears began to pour from my eyes, and I let out loud sobs. Soon after that event, the same grassy smell began to fill my nostrils. I paid no notice of it until it grew so intense that my head began to throb. "Charlie, it's time," Mother Mihaela called. "I'm writing this because I need someone's help. I've been living with Harper for God knows how long. I found a USB about my life, about Danielle, and I'm worried she's looking for me. I don't want to live in this sick loop. I've tried plenty of ways to off myself, and Harper refuses, claiming she wants to, quote, get good use if she's going to have to suffer too. If you see me, it doesn't matter where, please, I'm begging you, kill me.